Hi, I'm Tina Spangler with TLC Barrels, and welcome to my podcast. It's May 14th of 2024. This is Q&A number 196. This podcast is made for my online coaching group. It's a Facebook group that's paid by membership monthly. It also has a members only page, and it's just a great community. I'd like to welcome some new members. We have had, since August of 2020, we've had 330 people sign up and 27 states now and 3 international. I just love this group. I love getting to coach people all over the United States and now international as well. So welcome some new members, Jessica and Lee from Florida, Matt and his daughters Olivia and Amelia from Texas. And of course, my clinic last weekend, whenever someone comes to a clinic, they do get a free month of follow-up in my clinic and my coaching group. And that's Lisa, Delina, and Briley. The other members were already, the other riders were already members, which is awesome. So, but 3 new ones from the clinic. So that's awesome. And I've got a lot to cover today. The topic is taking your barrel racing to the next level, and I'll offer you some suggestions to do that. But I always like to start the podcast with a story, and the story I'd like to say today is kind of a visual for you. I saw it, and it was kind of tied into what I wanted to talk about dreaming and praying for what you want and saying it out loud. If you think about a magnet on your refrigerator, that magnet draws other things to it. Like if you had a paper clip or anything metal, that magnet's going to suck it to it. And you can't see how it works or why it works, but it does work. And it's the same when you pray to God. It's the same when you say it out loud. So I want you to be positive, you know, when you say what you want or see what you want. And, you know, there's books and there's podcasts, there's clinics and seminars and speakers that just talk about mental toughness and how to become mentally strengthen your mental game and all that. And honestly, if you just learn to believe and be positive, those are the two most important things you can do, and visualize that and say it out loud. So whatever your dreams are, whatever your goals are, I recommend every morning that you wake up, you just have gratitude and you thank God for all your blessings. And then you say out loud what you want. In my case, I want TLC to be strong enough to take care of me, my ranch, and my horses and my puppy for the next 25 years now that I'm on my own. And I want my parents to be, you know, happy, and my son to be happy. And those are the things that I pray for. And I just want to enjoy every day with my friends and family and clients and all of that. And so that's what I pray for. I don't pray for $1 million. I don't pray to win the NFR. Right now in my life, I just really want to enjoy Rocky and my business and see where it takes me. And then, of course, if things get back to that, where I can compete again and the right horse comes along, then so be it. But those are also things I could pray for. You know, some people pray for love, for the love of their life. Some people pray for, you know, whatever it is that is your passion, your purpose. I feel like God gives us all gifts, and you should follow that. So that's what I want to start off by saying. Think of your words and your thoughts and your prayers being a magnet to attract what you want. So be positive and believe and say your dreams out loud. And that would be my suggestion for you every day, every morning when you wake up and start your new day. Another thing that is a good comparison to that that applies to competition is when people override because they're mentally in their head. For instance, if it's a saddle you're trying to win or a buckle or points, how many of us have changed how we rode because we were sitting on the bubble to win a buckle or saddle and went in there and overrode our horse? I've done it. I think everybody who's ever competed for, points or to qualify for world or state or anything like that have gone in there and maybe tried a little too hard and seen the effects of it. So That's the other thing. You don't want to force it. You don't want to change how you ride. That overriding your horse or overpressuring yourself, it's not how you ride in practice. So my advice there is to absolutely ride like it's practice, like it's an exhibition, or how you rode at home or your practice night at your favorite pin, and to not treat it any different. Maybe you won't do as well in a new arena because it's a new arena. That's called seasoning, but maybe you will. Maybe if you ride everything the same, your horse will like the ground, they'll like the setup, but you can't force it that to happen. You can't override so much that you force it. So you have to just be smooth and ride like you would in practice. That way your horse knows what to expect from you. So that's my advice for you. Your horse needs consistency from you. So if you're calm and relaxed when you school during the week, you need to be calm and relaxed when you go down the alleyway in competition. And then don't take it too serious. You know, just realize, hey, you know, I'm going to come out, pet my horse no matter what. I'm going to look, give myself a few minutes to settle down and know I'm going to look at my, and then I'm going to look at my videos and my photos and I'm going to say, okay, this went really well, but I need to work on this. And then that's what my schedule is for next week. I'll work on my weak area and set up for the next event. And when you go to the event, just have fun, because that's what it should be after all. You spend all this time and money and effort, and you really need to just enjoy it. And that will also help you ride better, because you'll be more relaxed when you're smiling and happy and instead of stressed and tight and all of those things. So that's just my little story for today. Just remember, your thoughts and words is what your brain is going to try to match. Your prayers is what God is going to try to give you. So make them count. Make them be positive. So I posted in the group a new video. It was of a barrel racer winning an event with over 800 riders. She's from Florida, Sabra, and on her famous mare, Nosy. And Nosy, I've been watching her compete since she was, I think, 4. And she's 15 now. She's changed her style a little bit over the years, but she's definitely a really cool horse. And in the video, I did it because a lot of you aren't using your inside shoulder and hip to finish your turns. And this was a really good example of sitting back, even though you're really driving the horse into the hole, how to sit back with your inside hip and shoulder. Now, that's a push horse. For those of you on a free runner, your shoulder and hip needs to be back from the point of rate. So if you're on if you're on a free runner, you need to be sitting back maybe 4 strides from the barrel. Your shoulders and hips need to be back. You may have to do a 2-hand bump. And when you bump your shoulders and pockets, you need to sit on your pockets and have your shoulders and hips back in the saddle when you bump. I've seen people let their shoulders be forward while they pull back, and that's super confusing to a horse. That's like pulling back on the reins and kicking to go forward. Your shoulders and hips need to be back, saying rate when you bump with your hands to say rate as well. So please keep that in mind and watch the video. And again, this is on a push horse. So a free runner, you definitely need, from the point of your asking for rate, your shoulders and hips need to be back till the point of your pivot spot leaving your barrel. And the only reason they would ever go forward is if you got in too tight from maybe spot 1 to 2 and then you had no choice but to sit up, but then you need to sit back to finish your turn. But ideally you want to ride to your spots. Excuse me. A little sip of coffee this morning. sometimes I lose my voice. I had a busy week. So I had a clinic last Sunday and a clinic this Saturday. Then I did videos for the clinic on Sunday. And then I did group videos yesterday. Half the group videos are done. The other half of the group videos will get done today. And I'm taking off next weekend. I deserve a weekend off. So, and my clinics are done for the season. Just a little housekeeping. I'll be doing private lessons and group lessons all summer. And of course, my online coaching group. But clinics are done until October, because in Florida, the hurricane season, it's also 90s and humid, and it's just too hot for the horses all day to be in the saddle for an all-day clinic. even riding, I'd highly recommend you ride early in the morning or late in the evening, definitely not in the heat of the day. If you're competing, your warm-up needs to be just mainly walking. Get them stretched out because they're already going to warm up pretty quick. Don't overheat those horses and try to not have to race in the middle of the day if you can avoid it. And get those horses in the shade and hosed off with a fan or whatever as soon as possible. And keep an eye on their electrolytes, their salt intake, all of that. Make sure they're drinking plenty. I always put out free choice salt, loose pink salt for them. But I also have my electrolytes from Dynamite that I give too. So take care of your horses this summer. Let's see. May challenges is spirals. I think we've already had like 9 people participate. Let me double check that. Oh, 7 people participate. That's the spiral challenge. When you send me a video, it should be about 2 minutes long max. And you can send it 2 minutes going left, 2 minutes going right. And I can do it as a side-by-side video review for you and give you some advice back if it needs to be. But that's the training challenge, and I'll enter you in the drawing if you let me see how you practice at home. This is a benefit to you as well because it allows me to see how you train, not just compete. Let's see, for the mindset this month, we are journaling our progress for the middle of the year. Basically, I put that in the last podcast and in the group, 10 things to look at and, you know, from where you started in January to where you are now here in May. And how you want the next half of the year to go. So this is the time to do that. And let's see what else. I am going to be doing a little price change. As many of you know, I'm on my own now. And things are getting more expensive in the world. This group has been going on for... since August of 2020, so 3.5 years, almost 4 years. Come August, it'll be 4 years. So my price is $20 a month or $200 a year, and that's what I'm going to keep it at. That will include just one video a week with, or you can send two if you'll let me do them as a side-by-side. So like if you have, you know, two horses or if you have, but if you want extra videos, it's $5 per video. So generally one video a week is awesome because I give you homework and you'll know what you need to work on. But you can also pay $5 a video extra if you want other videos. But that's going to be the case for the whole group. Everybody will just get one video a week. And then if you want more than one video a week, it's $5 a month. I will obviously keep my prices. For now, I'm going to keep my original prices because there are some members that are loyalty rewards members. Some are founding members from the very first year. And some of you are just in there to watch the videos and learn weekly and never ask me to review videos. And but those of you that are asking me to review 2 videos a week, it's, you know, a lot when I have 100 members. So definitely going to be looking at changing that to it's just one video a week. And I think it gives you plenty of feedback. You know, you have multiple horses. I know that's not ideal for you, but you can pay an extra $5. Again, like I said, if you have more videos that you want done, or I can do them as a side by side, and that would just count as one video with, you know, it counts as one video, but I'll do the video as 2 in a side by side, if that makes sense. So let's see here. And that'll just help me out time-wise and also financially too. So it's just going to be at flat rate of $20 a month or $200 a year, one video a week. And then if you want more than that, it's an extra $5 a video. So I'm just going to keep it simple that way. So you still get access to members-only group. You still get video reviews, which is very custom and one-on-one. And not any other group offers that. So I think that's important, especially for that price. And let's see what else I want to talk about. I want to mention next week I'm going to do a podcast on getting ready to go to MBHA State Finals in June and also MBHA Youth World in July. I do want to mention it now, though. Now is the time to get vet checks. If your horses are sore or need anything extra right now, this is the time to do it. Most of you are getting your Coggins and your health certificates and all that. But you do not want to vaccinate horses right before you put them in a stressful situation. That's not good. Plus, they're shedding the vaccine and all of that. So definitely do everything. And you don't want to like trim them and shoe them the day before in case the farrier trims them a little short or something. In most cases, you want to be careful with that if you're, you know. But the main thing right now is get in with your vets, because some vets are hard to get into, especially the really good sports medicine vets. So we're in the middle of May. It's definitely the time to book a checkup in case there's anything extra that they need before. And just knowing that they're sound or if they need some help beforehand. So now would be the time for that. So I just wanted to mention that. And, you know, remember the chiropractor and the vets always see things differently. So, you know, don't put all your faith in one or the other. You know, it's good to see both because they, again, look at things from a different point of view. And a sports medicine vet is definitely going to catch things that maybe a chiropractor might miss, etc. So I've had that happen personally, especially when it comes to like tendons and ligaments and things like that. All right, so let's see. Questions. I have quite a few, so let me get into those. This is a follow-up from last week's podcast on style, stride, and size. Someone asked on the front-end horse, what's the best way to train during the week? So I mentioned that a little bit. You really want to do stuff that teaches them to stand up and teaches them to pick up their shoulder and soften their rib cage. You don't want to let them be on their front end. You want to make your focus on their hindquarters. So doing this month's challenge spirals would be great. Doing stopping and backing and roll backing, or my hind end, my squares where you do the hind quarter turn, that would be good. In and outs are good for a horse like that on figure eights, where you would feel the rate and then feel them put their weight on their hind quarters and then let them give you their nose, pick up their shoulder, and soften the rib, and their front feet make a lateral movement away from the barrel, and that puts the hip in. Anything that tells that horse, there's a barrel, get on your butt, pick up your shoulder, or in a circle. So spiral, single barrel, big and small circles without a barrel, anything like that. Spirals is perfect for that, because as you get more collected, you start to sit deeper and elevate the front end. So like I said, anytime you have a stiff, sticky horse, you want to work on flex and fluidity. And that was the other one, a really big, stiff rollback horse. During the week, you do lots of flex and fluidity and perfect soft lateral bend circles. Try to keep as much softness and bend from the shoulder to the rib and the hip on that horse. So they feel like a round peg in a round hole rather than a square peg in a round hole. So that would be important. So those are the two questions as a follow-up on there. And again, you know, you just have to kind of modify it for every single horse, but you want to take whatever strengths they have that can also be a weakness and tune on that during the week. Let's see, the next question, where should I video you for you? Okay, so best place to video is first or second barrel. Or if you have a specific concern. So let's say you're having, alley issues. You could start videoing from the alleyway so I can see what's going out there and seeing how your horse acts in the alleyway. See if you look like you're riding one-handed or relaxed. See what's going on. If you're tense and holding the reins tight, what's happening? But if you tape it first or second, I would tape it the barrel that I can see your face if that's a problem barrel for you. So I can see if you're looking in going into second, or if maybe you're not bumping her correctly with your hand going into first, or even if you have a problem down at third, you could videotape down there, but ideally first or second, and don't zoom in a whole lot because, but don't be super far away either. Just kind of a happy medium, because I need to be able to zoom in a little, but if you're too far zoomed in, I can't even see the whole run very well. So just find a happy medium, and by first or second would be great. Let's see, what's the next question? Can you offer us some tips going to world or state? Yes, and next week I will go over it more. I'll talk about vet. I would also mention starting, if your horse is just pastured, start putting them in stalls. Start playing music. Start getting them used to arenas that are like that. If you can get in buildings and ride your horse around, do slow work, all of that would be really good for them. Let's see here. Oh, and the next question was about the video challenge. They sent me a 4-minute video on Facebook Messenger and it wouldn't go through, but they could load it on Coach Now app. So I definitely want to recommend anybody that's comfortable with your Coach Now app. When you signed up, I sent you an email invite to the Coach Now app. It's free to you. I pay $350 a year for that app, but it's free to my members. And you can load your videos in there for me, and put your notes in there about, what horse, what arena, fast time, your time, whatever, any concerns. You can do it just like you do Facebook Messenger, and it saves me one more step of saving the video and doing it myself. All the details are in there already. But you can also load your training videos in there too. If you're having trouble with Facebook Messenger, you can load them in there. But I would highly recommend 2 minutes or less on each side, because the longer the video, the longer it takes to download. I've found that myself. That's why I keep most of my videos that, under 4 minutes. But usually 2 minutes is plenty for me to see how you ride your horse and see what I need to see. So of going each direction and seeing both directions is good too, because some horses are stiffer one way than the other, and some riders ride different one way versus the other. So let's see. This was a question about how to train for alleyway issues. So once you get to the root of the problem, which you've probably listened to my alleyway podcast by now, and there can be 6 reasons a horse has alley issues. But I would try doing one-handed to the alleyway, just going in and out the alleyway a lot one-handed, and even haul to a barrel race and don't enter. Maybe run your other horse. And when you're done running your other horse, go gate your horse every single drag, be number 6 on the drag, and walk in and just sit in the alleyway while they drag the arena. And then take the horse home, and the horse will be like, okay, that was not so bad. I didn't have to run. I just sat in the alleyway and relaxed. And it will get better, I promise. But again, you have to get to the root problem. If it's diet, respect, pain, pain can include joints, back, ulcers, bleeding, anything like that, lungs, lungs, GI issue, whatever. It can involve equipment fit. It can involve overpressuring, going too often, not having the education they need to be doing the event they're doing. A lot of those things. So there's like 6 different things that I have a podcast on that too. All right. The next question was about, do I like aluminum or wood stirrups? So, originally when we started, they were like the rawhide stirrups that most people rode in. And then the aluminum became very popular, and now everybody uses wood stirrups. And they look like I don't own a pair yet. I would like to try them though, because the aluminums can be heavy, and they're definitely, you got to be careful when you throw your saddle over your horse. You don't want the aluminum to whack your horse. They're pretty heavy stirrups. Some people say there can be some, interference with the aluminum metal, blah, blah, blah. But I don't know all about that stuff. All I know is that it'd be interesting to try. I know I have several clients that do run in them, and they say they feel good. They feel like they're don't hurt their knees and things like that. And I don't know if their wood stirrups are at an angle. Those offset stirrups can be easier on your joints as well. But definitely worth a try. I have yet to try them. One of my reining horse friends that I ride with, she bought a cheap pair off Amazon compared to the nettles that are like 200 and something. She bought an off brand for less than 100. And she likes them, loves them actually, but she's never had the others either to compare. So I would say it would be something that would be worth trying, just for the fact that they're lighter weight. And the other thing I want to mention with stirrups is be careful with your boots and your stirrups. If your stirrups have grips and your boots have grips, it can be too grippy if ever there was a wreck, or just getting on and off your horse. It's difficult. So try to only have a grip one or the other. Not necessarily too. And just remember, stirrup length's important too. If your stirrups are too long, are you shoving your foot in there too much? You can't get your heel down. You can't have weight on the balls of your stirrup. So You want your foot to be able to hang down past your stirrup 1 to 2 inches when your legs are out of your stirrups and you're loose in your hips. And if they don't, if you don't have to pick your foot up to put it in your stirrup, you may want to consider shortening your stirrups as well. It can give you more control when you're posting, in your turns for rate going in or pulling up, coming out, with your stride, using the horn and some weight in the balls of your feet in your stirrups. So stirrups are very important. So I would definitely try them. And just like bits or saddles, they're very personal. Your own boots that you wear are very personal. So everybody's going to have things that they like, versus dislike. I see many women win at the futurity and proridia level in aluminum. So I don't think they cause any kind of energy blockage or anything like that. Otherwise, those people wouldn't be winning as good as they do. But I do think it's a personal thing worth trying, and see if you like them. Let's see here. Next question. How would I get my lazy horse to speed up their feet? So one of my favorite things to do is a circle, kind of like you're doing the D pattern, and then go along a fence and then ask your horse to do that circle, stop, and do a quick roll back. Like, don't stop for long, just say, whoa, and then roll back and smooch at them. Use a little direct rein, neck rein, outside leg, and drive them out immediately and trot or lope the other direction into a big circle, and then do it again on the fence. So when you stop on the fence, you want to be kind of at an angle, at least a 45 degree angle, so that you can really spin over that hock instead of a full on doing a full like 180. You want to have you won't end up being a full 80. It'll be more like a 90 if you stop at a little bit of an angle, and then they can just roll over their hocks and go the other way. But you can do a complete stop straight along the fence and do a full 180 too. But the idea is to just get them to really set that pivot foot and drive out. And so that's a good one to do. I like any of my stuff where you go like spirals or any of that where you're going slower into faster. And but yeah, the other thing is easy into your turns and drive out of your turns. That's a good one for a lot of horses. You could do that one. So those are things I like to do, because if you overdo, like let's say you're trotting, you can change directions a lot. You don't need barrels or anything, but do some figure eights where you trot lefts and then trot rights and just get them moving, then maybe roll back. But only do like 10 minutes and only a couple times a week, because you don't want to blow them up either. Anything can be overdone and make a horse aggravated or irritated. And you don't want to do it where they're strung out. You still want to have good form. And you still want them using their butts and picking up their shoulders and all of that. So keep that in mind as well. What about the horse that's hitting barrels? How do you tune up for the horse that's hitting the barrels? If you truly have a horse that wants to turn on top of a barrel going into it, I would do lots of big circles, slow down at a walk, trot, and lope, and do like 10-foot circles 2 times around each barrel and show them I want lateral bend and keep moving. You could also do my rubber band drill. You could do in and outs. You could do all lefts, all rights. All of those things would be beneficial to a horse that wants to hit a barrel. But again, make sure there's not a reason, underlying reason, like a saddle fit issue or pain issue. So if a horse doesn't feel good, they may be that reason too. So number one is the tune-up. Number two, make sure it's not rider cues, like you're looking in and lifting up too soon or leaning to the inside, looking down their neck or looking at the barrel. Or lifting your hand across the withers. Excuse me. All those things can cause it. I've been talking entirely too much. I apologize. And I would also really slow down and focus on riding to your spots and get them where they are, lighter on that front end. And same thing, using their butt, good as well. And picking up that shoulder, softening that rib cage. Let's see here. Understanding your horse. This one is asking, if my horse is reactive, how do I know if I should discipline them or not? So it's like Briscoe and Rocky are the perfect example. Briscoe is extremely reactive, so I have to be careful how I discipline her. She's better to discipline with a cue, like face flex or disengage her hindquarters or something like that, or back her up. Where Rocky, you can kind of get after him a little bit more. You could pop him with the split reins on the butt and he'll straighten up. Something like that. But he's more of a bold, pushy horse from being bottle fed as a baby and in my lap for 2 months of his life. But Briscoe's more of a claustrophobic chicken in a horse suit, so she's not one you want to get after too much. She remembers it for a month and becomes jittery and overreactive. So some horses you should never get after like that, but you can't just let them ignore you either. So a horse that's more reactive, you'd be better to just make them listen to a cue, whether that's disengage their hindquarters or back up or yield their front end, face flex. But a horse that's kind of like Rocky, that's just being pushy or rude, you can kind of get after them a little bit harder. So yes, you've got to know your horse. I hope that answers that question. Every horse is different. It's no br different than my brother and sister and I growing up. My parents would raise their voice at me and my sister, and we'd start to cry. My brother, they'd have to literally get a tree stick or a curtain rod out to get his attention. So, it just depends on the individual. And of course, he was really good by the time he was a teenager, where we went the other direction. But I think it's, everybody's different, right? My brother was more of a handful when he was little and better when he was older. And we were more handfuls as teenage girls versus young girls that were sensitive and would cry if you looked at them wrong. So everybody's different. Horses, people. So you just have to learn. The same with me when I'm coaching. Some girls I can coach really firmly and push them harder, and other girls I have to be very gentle and very positive with them. So everybody's different. Let's see here. Spirals. Let's see. The question about the spirals, they're struggling with the smaller circle. I realized when I made the diagram that it was based on more of an advanced horse. So you can make your smaller circle bigger. You can make your circle 10-foot circle. So you may put the first cones 12 or 15 feet away from the center cone. So if you have a center cone, put the second set of cones 12 to 15 feet away so you can have a 10-foot circle. And then the next cones, you only need to do like 5 or 6 feet apart because you just need enough room to go between them as your medium cones. And then your large cone would be the last cone, for your large circle would be the final cone. So I hope that helps. So you really just need, if you're doing cones only, a center cone, and then one, two, three, four more cones. So five cones total. And the first cone goes in the center, and then the second set of cones, and you just put them in a straight line because that'll give you a gist for a small, medium, and large circle, would be 12 to 15 feet away. And then the next cone from that would be 4 or 5 feet from the next cone. And that should be perfect for everybody. So, let's see, try to keep your horse to stay perfect circles. And if you can, if you're more advanced, you can do it one-handed, especially on the small circle. The key when you're doing spirals is that when you go one-handed, that the horse doesn't lose its form, that the horse doesn't try to swing its butt or drop its shoulder. And some of you may want to put a barrel in the center if you have a horse that wants to, as soon as you go to the horn, drop and turn. This is a great way to train your horse to ride off your seat and legs. And you can do the whole thing. If you're on a really advanced horse, do small, medium, large, and then medium, small, medium, large, and then medium, small, and then back out, medium, large. You spiral down, you spiral out, just like a corkscrew. You go down, up, and then you can do two hands if you want to, because that's be more for, beginner and stuff. But if you're really advanced, try it one-handed, because if you go around the barrels one-handed, you don't want the horse to think every time you go to the horn, they're gonna like drop their shoulder and just turn that barrel. So it's a great way to handle that. And I haven't even got to the topic yet. I've had so many questions. All right, let's get to the topic. I'm already talked 34 minutes. How to step up to the next level. So here are my suggestions. I have 13 things. I'm going to go through them a little bit quicker because I've been doing 30 minutes of talking already. So to step up to the next level, and to do it consistently, here's what I would recommend. Number one, look at your ride schedule. You need to be riding at least 4 days a week. You need to be hauling at least twice a month. That's the only way you're going to get good at it. And then second thing would be your pre-run routine. It needs to be super solid based on the individual horse. Some horses need a slow, long warm-up. Others need a quicker, you know, pay attention warm-up, get their feet moving more. So do a definitely an individual pre-run routine that works for you too, where you're calm and focused and you visualized and knowing when to go up to the arena and sit or walk circles one or two drags out, know when you should get back on after your warm up, you know, everything down to your rubber bands, all of it, leg boots, when you put it all on, you know, braid their mane, your prayer, you say, you sing a song, whatever you do, write it all down. Number three, your mental game. Some people blank out in their run because they get so nervous, but turn your nerves into excitement that you're excited to make your run. Don't pressure yourself. Have fun with it. Trust your training. Really get where I said earlier when I started the podcast, be positive, believe and say what you want and pray about it and just trust that, you know, what you visualize, what you think is what your brain tries to match. So it's very important you see positive outcomes, you see a positive smooth run, all of those things. So let's see. Number four would be video critiques. Make sure I'm able to coach you. Not just your good runs, but your bad ones. We can keep it private. They don't have to be shared in the group. Just tell me private and it's just between me and you. I don't need to see just your best runs if you need help with your ugly runs, you know, and figure out what happened. Number six, your fitness and your diet. Are you strong? Can you do 15 minutes of yoga a day to strengthen or Pilates? Are you eating pretty healthy? Protein, vegetables, fruits, not a lot of processed foods. You know, are you strong enough, fit enough? You do a little bit of strength training, some light weights or something. You know, that goes back to your horse's exercise and your exercise. Number seven, can you walk on foot a perfect pattern or in the saddle? Can you walk and trot a perfect pattern? Can you lope a perfect pattern on your horse? These things are important. I have a video where you can even walk the pattern and get your cues solid on the ground. Number eight, can you visualize a smooth, fast run? That's important. Number nine, are you too hard on yourself, pressuring yourself too much? You know, those are things you want to try to stop getting in your head so much and just have a little bit of fun. You know, you just keep going. You'll get better at it. Just learn from each run. This went well. This is what I need to work on. Number 10, go to lessons, go to a clinic. You'd be surprised how those things can really help. 11, look at your videos and reviews. I mean, your photos and your videos and learn from them, which kind of goes with talking to your coach as well. Number 12, be assertive. You know, as far as like some people have the horsepower, but just need a little more fire, a little bit more snappy turn, a little more drive out of your barrels. Number 13, knowing your horse. And this one's important. There is a sympathetic and a parasympathetic that people and horses are, that they get into. Think of sympathetic as fight and flight or even freezing up a little bit. That's when your blood pressure goes up. So like if you've ever been scared, you feel that. If someone scares you or something scares you, your blood pressure goes up and you're stressed and you get in the flight or fight mode, or even you freeze, you know. And that's more of a sympathetic mode. We don't want our horses in that mode. We don't want that mode. Horses get in that mode when they feel scared, when they feel cornered, all of that, or in new areas where they're just not relaxed yet. So the way that we want us to be and our horses is the parasympathetic. And when you want to compare the two, think of parasympathetic as going on a picnic, being relaxed. So sympathetic is flight or fight. Parasympathetic is more relaxed and a picnic. So that's when a horse is resting and digesting and their blood pressure is low. Same with us. when we are in the parasympathetic mode, that's when we're chill, we're relaxed, and that's how we want. Nobody can win, nobody can think, nobody can learn, nobody can be in the moment if you're in that sympathetic mode. So you have to learn to get yourself in the parasympathetic. And in order to do that, you have to learn to breathe and to relax. That's why some people sing a song or say the Lord's Prayer or talk to their horse or pet their horse, do breathing and meditation. That's how they get themselves back into the parasympathetic mode. So keep that in mind, and I'm going to close there because I've been talking for 40 minutes and I know your time is valuable. So listen to this podcast when you drive to work or do your barn chores or house chores, because I hope my program always offers you a gold nugget here or there that keeps you inspired and motivated and, you know, gives you some true advice. You know, that is my goal for the group, that we're always having fun learning and enjoying each other's friendships, as well as you know, it's very educational and inspiring for you too. So lastly, I'd like to go ahead and close by saying, please put your horse first. That's what riding with heart means. Let's do better by our horses. Let's take the tie downs off. Let's take off the big bit. And during the week, just put them in a side pull or a snaffle and split reins and work on your horsemanship. Work on your rider cues. And remember, you don't want to win at all cost. That should never be before you're taking care of your horse and your horse's mental and emotional and physical well-being. So be very thankful and grateful every day for every ride, every run, and just hug your horse and pet your horse every day. It is important to have dreams. It's important to have goals. And it is important to take off the trainer's cap and put on the competitor's cap, because it helps you get that little winning edge that you need. But above all, put your horse first and do the best you can for your horse. So to me, that is riding with heart. So again, thank you guys for tuning in. And remember to say your dream out loud. Pray about it. And you know, every single one of you has a purpose, a passion, and gifts from God. And if you say it out loud, your brain's going to try to match it. God's going to try to bring it true for you. And work hard at it, and it will come true. So anyways, thank you guys for tuning in this week. And as always, ride with heart, and God bless.